Okay. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for coming. As always, the topic of today's shiur is based on a gemara that we find in the Sefer Sota on the Yud Dalet, which we have the sheet is on page 1. And if you look there, it's marked off. Actually, there are two places that are marked off. It's the second one. The gemara says, "V'amar Rabbi Chama v'Rabbi Chanina." My diksiv, Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teleichu. There's a pasuk which instructs us that we should follow after God. Achrei Hashem Elokeichem, after Hashem your God, Teleichu, you should go. So the Gemara asks, V'chiev shelo la'adam lahalak achrei hashchina? Is it possible? What does this mean that a person is supposed to follow behind God, which implies that he's supposed to walk behind Hashem? Right? Is it possible for a person to follow after the Shechina? Right, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is referred to as an Eish, as a fire, meaning there is no physical being of Hashem. So what does it mean he's supposed to follow after Hashem? How is that shayach? Says the Gemara, Ella lahalech achar midos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's meant here is that a person is supposed to follow after Hashem's midos. They're supposed to emulate the ways of Hashem. And the Gemara delineates a few such examples. Mahu mal b'sharumim, just like Hashem clothes those who need clothing. Diksiv vayat Hashem lokim lo'adam u'ishto kosnos or vayal b'shem. Just like we find that after the sin of the Eitz Hadas, when Adam realized that he was unclothed, so it says that Hashem made clothing for him. So afatah talbish arumim. So too we're supposed to learn from that that this is an inyan of chesed, that the same way Hashem gave clothing to one who needed it, so too we should also give clothing to one who needs it. If someone cannot afford the clothing that's necessary for a situation, so there's a special mitzvah that we should go ahead and provide clothing for them. That's one example. Now the Gemara continues. Bikur cholim. That the second way of Hashem that we're supposed to emulate is to visit the sick. Bikur cholim. Where do we get that from? Diksiv, as it says in the pasuk, Vayeru elav Hashem ve'elonei mamre. That we have the pasuk, the opening words of yesterday's parasha, Vayeru elav Hashem, that Hashem appeared to Avraham ve'elonei mamre, in the plains of mamre. Right? So just like Hashem did that, why did Hashem appear to Avraham at that moment? So we know that this is because Avraham had just undergone the Brit Milah, and he was in recovery, and he was feeling weak, and therefore, Vayeru elav Hashem, right? That's the parashas Vayeru, right? Vayeru, Hashem appeared to him. Why did he appear? Levaker es hacholam, to visit the sick. This was a Bikur cholim visit. Says the Gemara, afatah vaker cholim, so too, we also should emulate this and be mevaker cholim. Okay, which is the topic of today's shiur, which we'll get to in a moment. Just to finish up the Gemara here, it's a very important Gemara. The Gemara continues and says, "Kover meisim." Nichem Avelim. I'm sorry. Hashem Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Nichem Avelim. Hashem consoles those who are mourners. We find the pasuk that Hashem appeared to Yitzchak after Avram died, which was to console him over his loss. So too, we should also be involved in Nichum Avelim. And the final one the Gemara gives is HaKadosh Baruch Hu kover meisim. Hashem buries the dead, is involved in burial, diksiv, by cover also by guy, because it says when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, by cover also, which literally means that God buried him, by guy in this place, mul beis po'or, afatah kover meisim. Right? So these are in the Torah, if we look through the Chumash, the involvements that Hashem had with people, milas hasadim, right? So the direct involvements we find in these situations, and the Gemara tells us that we are instructed when we read these psukim in the Torah, when we read yesterday, Vayeru elav Hashem ve'elonei mamre, that Hashem appeared to Avram, that we're supposed to learn something from this pasuk. Now, even though the pasuk is not written in the format of a mitzvah, in other words, we know we have 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, there is no specific mitzvah in the Torah that says directly that Hashem said to Moshe, tell the people that they should go be mevaker cholim, that they should go visit the sick. Nevertheless, we have to learn out from psukim, even if they're not in the format of the mitzvah. And therefore, we have this pasuk that says that Hashem appeared to Avram to visit him, so to speak. We're supposed to learn from that too. And thus, we have the mitzvah of Bikachol. Okay, now, this mitzvah we know is a very, very great mitzvah to visit the sick. We'll see what is entailed in this mitzvah shortly. But the mitzvah itself is listed, we say every day in the davening, right? After we recite the Birchas HaTorah, so we say the Braisa, Elul Dvarim Shein Lam Shir, we list off discussions of various mitzvahs, and we say the following. We say, Elul Dvarim Sha'adam Ochel Peroseim Ba'olam Hazdeh, that the following are a list of mitzvahs, that a person eats the fruits of these mitzvahs in this world, Ba'akeren, but the principle, Kayemis lo olam haba. The principle remains for the next world. Meaning that we know that in general we have the principle that schar mitzvah b'hai al-malecha, that the reward for mitzvahs is not in this world. That a person does a mitzvah, God will reward him essentially in the next world. Right? We don't want it here because he can't get paid as well as he could get paid there. So therefore we say that we have a klal that in general a person does not earn the reward of a mitzvah, does not get the payoff for a mitzvah in this world. However, there are certain mitzvahs which are considered by the Chazal outstanding mitzvahs, and by those we say that even you will benefit in this world and will not affect your standing in the next world, because whatever you get in this world will be viewed as the payros. It will be like God, like the mitzvah planted a tree, and the tree yields fruit. So every season the tree yields fruit. If you pick an orange off a tree, it doesn't hurt the tree. The tree will keep producing more oranges. And you'll always have the tree. So too, we are told that there are certain mitzvahs that if a person performs them, he will be rewarded in this world and in the next world. And whatever he gets in this world will not come off the tab. It will not come off what God will pay him out in the next world, because whatever he gets now will just be viewed as interest. The principle remains. This is just the interest payment. And the Braisa lists off, what are they? Kibud Aveim, Gmilus Chasodim, right? Hashkamas Beis HaMidrash Shachris V'Arvis, coming to Shul to Davin, morning and evening, we're coming to the Beis Medrash to learn. Bachnosas Orchim, Ubikur Cholim. Right? So Bikur Cholim is on the list of mitzvahs that this applies to, that a person who is involved in this mitzvah will get the reward in this world and will not come off the reward he gets from the next world. Okay, so this is the importance of the mitzvah of Bikur Chol. What I'd like to go into a little bit is, what exactly is the mitzvah, how does one fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Chol properly? So, it's been pointed out that the word Bikur in Hebrew, so the word bikur means, the way we always say bikur cholam means to visit the sick. That's the way it's always taken. I'm going to go visit, I'll go to his home and visit the person who was ill. However, the word bikur in Hebrew also means, levaker, means to check out, to investigate. In other words, we find that this expression means to investigate a matter is bikur cholam. And therefore, the Chazal tell us, as we will soon see, the Chazal tell us that a big part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is not just to visit the person, but it's to see what the person needs, to investigate the situation. When a person is ill, there are other things that go along with it. The person may need help. The person may need financial assistance. The person may need physical assistance. And this is based on a Gemara that we find, it's here on the sheet on the page on side number 2, right? Based on a Gemara that we find in Maseches Nedarim. Okay, the Gemara in Nedarim says the following. Okay, now the beginning of the Gemara is on the previous page, so I didn't put it on the sheet, but we're going to begin from the top of the Gemara here. So on the previous Amid, the Gemara says, Rabbi Chelbo Cholash, this is not yet on the sheet. Rabbi Chelbo Cholash, the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Chelbo, one of the Amoraim, one of the rabbis of the period of the Gemara, took ill. So it says that Nafik Achriz Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana, who was a colleague of Rabbi Chelbo, called out, and here we go on to this the page that we have. He proclaimed, Rabbi Chelbo boyish. He said, Rabbi Chelbo is ill. He announced it. Rabbi Chelbo is ill. So the Gemara says, lo ikud the ka'asu, that despite this announcement, nobody came to visit him. Nobody came to visit him. Doesn't say why, presumably because everybody was busy, and therefore everyone relied that the other one would do it, like the human nature, that, you know, why should I go? I'm very busy, so I'm sure somebody else is going to go. So benkach u'benkach, nobody went. So the Gemara says the following thing. Amar luhu, so Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana got up, and he felt that this needed to be corrected. So he said the following thing. He said, "Lo kach hoya maisa." He says, "Was this not the incident that took place? The Talmid echad mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva, that the story happened that there was a student of Rabbi Akiva, shechola. There was a student of Rabbi Akiva that took ill, and lo nichnasu chachomim levakro. And it just so happened to be that none of the chachomim came to visit him. Again, we would have to assume it wasn't because they were callous to the situation, but because each one was busy and each one relied for that probably someone else was already taking care of it. So nobody went to see him. So the Gemara says, V'nichnas Rabbi Akiva Levakro. So finally, nobody went, but Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe of this young man, or whoever this person was, the Rebbe of this student of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva himself, went in to visit him. Ubishvil, says the Gemara, Ubishvil shekibdo v'ripso lefana. When Rabbi Akiva was there, what did he do? Rabbi Akiva didn't just sit down and say some nice words to him, but Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says, picked up a broom and swept the floor. He saw that his room was in disarray, and therefore he cleaned up in front of him, and he tidied up the situation in the presence of this ill student. So the Gemara says that because Rabbi Akiva did that, Chaya, this student had a recovery. He had all of a sudden, after Rabbi Akiva paid his visit, the student recovered. Amar Leih, so he said, so the student said to Rabbi Akiva, he said, Rabbi Hechi Sonny. He said, Rabbi, you have given me life. Hechi Sonny, you've kept me alive. Because of your visit, you've kept me alive. Meaning that the way the Mefarshim interpreted that I was so distressed by my situation, being that not just the fact that I was ill, but the surroundings, everything that was going on around me, no one was taking care of me, everything, you know, my room was a mess, my home was in disarray, but because you came and took care of my needs, Hechi Sonny, you have given me life. Says the Gemara, Yotzer Rabbi Akiva, so when Rabbi Akiva heard this, he went out into the public with Darish and he announced, Kol mi she'ein mevaker cholim ki ilu shofech damim. That a person who does not visit those who are ill is as if he killed them. It's as if he spilled blood. Now, what does this mean? So, the way the Chazal understood this Gemara, this incident, is that we see here an aspect of Biker Cholim that we don't always consider. In other words, the simple understanding of Biker Cholim is you go visit the person, and the person, God forbid, in the hospital, whatever, you go pay the hospital visit, and they say, oh, okay, I was Yotzei to Biker Cholim. I went to see the person, I tried to cheer them up, and as such, I fulfilled the mitzvah. But we see over here, and this is brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that we see over here that the mitzvah runs much beyond that. That the mitzvah of Biker Cholim is levaker, is to investigate. What does the person need? In this situation, Rabbi Akiva's student said to him that you kept me alive, not because you stam came to visit me. It wasn't because you came to visit and I was encouraged, somebody's thinking about me. That alone was apparently not what did it in this story. But rather, what happened was that the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was kibed v'ribes. Rabbi Akiva came and he said, "What's going on over here? Look at his room. Look at this place. This place is a mess, right? Because he's ill. He can't take care of himself. And part of his illness apparently was his distress over the fact that he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. So my home is in disarray and it's demoralizing." It's the mind. I can't help myself. I can't do it. I'd love to fix it up. It's never like this. But because I'm sick, I can't take care of it. And the Gemara says that this is the service that Rabbi Akiva provided for his Talmud, to which his Talmud said, "Hechi Yisani, that you've given me life. You've given me life. You revived me. Now I'm better." The Talmud had a recovery. The Gemara does not attribute the recovery. One might have thought that, well, it's because the great Sadik Rabbi Akiva went to visit him, so probably in that schuz he had a recovery. But the Gemara says no. He said, "Hechi Yisani, because you did practical things for me. You helped me out in the way that I needed help." And thus Rabbi Akiva went out and announced that a person has to know that if you don't do this, it's ki'ilu shofech dam. So therefore, this is a big aspect of kibud av v'em, of bikur cholam. A big aspect of bikur cholam is that a person has to go ahead and actually try to see to the needs of the person who is ill. It's not enough to just visit, but you have to see, what does he need? What does he need? Maybe he needs help. Maybe because the person is ill, he's out of work. Maybe he needs the financial help. Maybe because the person is ill, other things are falling out of place. Maybe depending on whether it's a man or a woman, you know, that maybe someone needs to go shopping for this family now that this person is ill. Or somebody needs to take care of other arrangements. All of that is included in the chiyuv of the mitzvah of bikur cholam. And the person who does any of these things is fulfilling the mitzvah of bikur cholam even without visiting the person. In other words, you can fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholam even without going to in physical presence of the person who's ill. But if you find out, oh, this is what they need. I know what they need. They need this. So let's go do this. Let's go take care of it. That would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of bikur cholam. Okay, that is the first aspect of the mitzvah of bikur cholam. But the Gemara continues and says a second aspect of this mitzvah as well. And the Gemara says here, continuing along, the Gemara says, Ki Osir Ravdimi, that when Ravdimi came, Omar, he said the following. He said, Ko amavaker es achola, any person who visits or takes care of the needs of a person who is ill, Goreng lo sheyichye, causes that he should live. It gives him life. However, v'chol she'enu mevakar sachola gorem lo she'yomos. A person who does not is causing them death, is causing them to die. This is what he said. So the Gemara right away says, what does that mean? My grum, what does it mean he caused that? What ilay mekol mevakar sachola mevakar shalav rachamim she'yichya. So the Gemara said that they thought maybe he meant the following. They thought that he meant that a person who's mevakar cholam means that he prays on behalf of this person that he should live. That's what's meant, that a person who's mevakar cholam causes him, gives him life. And the kol she'ein mevakar sachola, and a person who does not visit the sick, mevakar shalav rachamim she'yomos. They thought maybe he meant that we're talking about a person who actually prayed that this old person should die. So the Gemara says, what? Is that what he meant to say? Ella, so the Gemara says, rather what he meant was, kol she'ein mevaker chole, a person who is not mevaker chole, ein mevaker shalav rachamim, lo she'yichye v'lo she'yomos. That a person who does not visit one who is ill, does not ask for mercy on that person's behalf. What does that mean? That means because if you don't actually see the person, if you don't see the person, when one goes to visit someone else who is ill, so you see the situation, so it's heartrending. A person sees that and he feels, I have to do something about it. So Rav Dimi says, what will he do? He will be mispalel. He will pray for that person. What Rav Dimi meant was that if you will be mevakar chola, you will give the person life. Why will you give the person life? Because it's inevitable that you will then go and be mispalel for them. However, if you don't go to be mevakar chola, if you don't see the person, so then gorem alav sheyomos, you're going to cause them to die. How are you going to cause them to die? Not because you're doing anything that would, God forbid, contribute to their death directly, but rather because of the fact that you're not praying for them, that you're not being mispalel for them. So from this Gemara, the poskim derive several points. From this, the poskim derive that, number one, here, We said a moment ago that you could be mekayim the mitzvah of bikachon without necessarily going to the person by helping out in other ways. However, that's only as far as the practical side of bikachon. But there is also a spiritual side of bikachon, and that is that when if a person sees someone else who is ill and it makes an impression on him, so he should go and be misfollowed. He should go and daven for that person. And the poskim say that this is a chiyuv as part of bikur cholim, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch in very strong terms. The Shulchan Aruch says that if a person goes to be, that if a person sees one who is ill and is not misfollowed for them and does not go ahead and pray for them, so it's kiyul shofet gomer. That's what comes out from this Gemara. That it's as if it's a terrible thing. And you, why you say, but I'm not killing, God forbid, I'm contributing to their death. I'm a good person. I would never, there's a person who I care about so much. But the answer is, the Mefarshim say, because of the fact that one never knows when prayers are accepted. And it could be that had you just said one tefillah on this person's behalf, your tefillah would have been answered. Because we can't always know. People have different schusim. Every person, we don't know what the story is by anybody. Right? Each person has their own merits due to good deeds that they do. And it could be that in certain situations, God will listen to a particular person's prayer and not to someone else's. And we don't know who that person is. So therefore, if a person goes and sees someone who is ill, he has an obligation to be misfollowed. It's not good enough to just come and visit and cheer them up and even take care of their needs. That still is not enough. But rather, upon performing the mitzvah of bikachon properly, a person has to walk away with an impression and say, now I have to go daven for this person. Now I have to go daven for this person. And this is a great aspect of bikachon that sort of we don't always take seriously. Because we look more, by nature, people look always at the practical side of things. So we know, alright, the person is in the hospital, let's say, or bedridden at home, so probably they're down and they need to be cheered up, but maybe even I'll go help them out. I recognize that they probably have certain needs that they need to be helped out with. But what about tefillah? What about tefillah? So we are told here that if you go to be mevakeh chol, a big part of the mitzvah is that you should see the situation, feel bad for the person, and say, I'm going to do something about it. And say a tefillah. And whether it's there, most likely a person would go to shul afterwards to daven one of the tefillahs, when he says, Refa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe, when he's misfollowed, for a fool, we should have this person in mind. I know this person is ill, and the Chazal are telling this to us in very strong terms. It's not just a good deed to do such a thing. It's not like a nice thing. The Chazal are telling us that a person who doesn't do that could be in some way construed as if he contributes. If God forbid the person does not recover, that in some way I contributed to that. Because who knows? Maybe my prayer would have been answered. Maybe had I said that, you say, well, what do you mean? 1,000 other people prayed and they just had a whole gathering and so many people prayed. What's my prayer going to make a difference? The answer is my prayer will make a difference because you don't know who's Hashem listens to. So every person has to think in this regard that maybe my tefillah will help. That maybe my tefillah will make a difference. So therefore, we have to go ahead and be misfollowed when we see a cholah. And this is the nusach that we have. It's printed in the Siddurim. You don't necessarily have to say the person by name. It's printed in almost every siddur. The little insert when you say the bracha of Refa'enu to mention by name the person who's a chola. You can have in mind, if you don't know the person's name, you have in mind who the person is. But the fact is that this is an inyan of bikachon that does not get taken as seriously. By nature, we think that we're going the extra mile, like I'm a tzaddik, because when I said the I made a mishaberech for this person, I'm a tzaddik. That's not tzidkus. That's not righteousness. To not do that is wrong. That's the way it has to be viewed. To not do that means I'm depriving from the person the possibility that maybe God would have heard my tefillah. How do you know? Maybe might you say, but what do you mean? But who am I? And you don't know. People have schusim. Every person has schusim, and it could be that my schus would have done. Yeah, yes.
Just the application of the mitzvah during life and death. What about showing it as a broken arm? You can do pretty much everything.
Okay, so when it comes to a person, there's a question who's considered a chol altogether. So, okay, we're talking here, obviously, about a person who's seriously ill. A person who is only a minor injury, also the mitzvah b'chol applies to if they need help. In other words, we don't say that, well, you're mekayim b'cholim if you're talking to someone and the person says, you know, I have a real headache. And you say, oh, well, here, I want to be mekayim mitzvah b'cholim, right? That wouldn't really be b'cholim. The mitzvah applies to a person who is in some degree of need. If the person is in need, so then we say there's a mitzvah to go ahead and help them. So yeah, it's true, you know, a person who has a broken arm, so b'derech hateva is not a big deal, and there's an annoyance, but over the past, you know, short period of time, the person will recover. But nevertheless, even there, there's an inyan, right? Right now the person is suffering, so there too a person should be misfowl. But certainly, in a situation where a person is seriously ill, right, and which is where everybody associates the mitzvah b'kicholim, that you have to go and to be mispal. Now there is a halacha which is based on the, if we continue on here in the Gemara Maseches Nedarim, the Gemara says a very interesting thing. The Gemara says Rava, that the Gemara says the beginning of the line Rava Yoma Kadma de Cholish, the first day that he was ill, Amar Lahom Lo Tigwu Leinish. He said to people, don't tell anybody that I am sick. On the first day that he was sick, Delo Lisra Mazle, because he did not want his mazel to be affected. Now this is a Gemara which requires explanation. There are different explanations in the Achronim, but the way it's printed, the way it is given over in the Shulchan Aruch is the following halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says, and we don't always know this, in other words, people have we have the question, when is it appropriate to be mevakeh cholim? So the Shulchan Aruch says, HaKrovim v'achaverim nichnosim miyad, that a person who is either a relative or a close friend can go be mevakeh cholim immediately. However, v'harechokim, but a person who is not so closely connected, achar gimel yomim, should wait until after 3 days. And should wait until after 3 days. Why exactly that is, so it's based on what Rava said, even though Rava said it only about one day, but the fact is that it's based on that there's a concept that his mazel should not get worse. And one explanation that's given, I believe, by the Bach is that when the word goes out that he's a chola, so like in a certain sense, it's like an ayin hara, like you're announcing the person is ill, so which could actually make it worse. So therefore, those who are closest to the person should go right away. Everybody else should wait a few days, wait 3 days. After 3 days that the person has taken ill, then is the time to be mevakeh cholim.
Isn't that the same concept
apply for
the
shiva? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That applies for a different reason. That's right. That applies to the shiva as well. Right, to the person sitting shiva. Right. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, in kapitul of acholi, however, if the person is seriously ill and the concern is that who knows what's going to be, I don't want to wait because it's hard to know what's going to happen, so then then a person can go right away. But again, there is an idea, and it speaks also to seichel, and that is that sometimes in a bikacholim situation, if you're not close with the person may not yet be comfortable that they want visitors. They're not up to that just yet. So obviously a close friend or a relative is different category, but we are told here that a person should wait 3 days, and this is in the halacha even bizman hazeh. Now the Shulchan Aruch further tells us afilu hagadol yelech levaker hakotin, that a person should not stand on ceremony when it comes to bikacholim. A person should not say, well, I am a much higher status than that person. I'm a much higher status, and therefore it's not for me, it's beneath my dignity to go ahead and visit this person, or even if it's an older person with a much younger person, or even a child, right? So the halacha is that even a gadol should go to a katan, And the halacha is vafilu kama pa'amim b'yom, even many times. In other words, it's not like you did it once, I did it and finished. Okay, I paid the visit to the Bika Cholim and that's it. But we are told that a person could fulfill the mitzvah Bika Cholim not just many times on different days, but afilu kama pa'amim b'yom, but even many times on the same day. In other words, you could fulfill the mitzvah. One would be fulfilling the mitzvah bikur cholim to go even several times on the same day if the situation calls for it. Of course, we have the halacha that is brought that a person who's mefakir chola should not try to be a burden. Sometimes you could go be mefakir chola and you're actually making it worse, because of the fact that the chol is not up to it right now, this is not a good time, maybe it's hard for them to speak, and the poskim say, it's based on a gemara which I don't want to go into, but basically the poskim say that a person who's mevakeh chol has to use a little chochma, that a person has to use a little seichel and try to determine, is this a good time to go? And sometimes it could start off being a good time to go, but then it turns out, as things progress, that now maybe it's time to leave. You know, the doctor comes in the middle to pay the medical visit, so maybe, and is going to check the patients, and now is not the time to be there. So a person has to know, and this is brought in the poskim, that a person who is mevakeh chola should not be a burden upon the chola. If the person is too weak to talk, so then to go visit them, if you know that your presence is going to make it that they're going to feel obligated to speak, because they know you're there, so out of decency they feel that they have to speak to you. So in such a situation, a person shouldn't do it. It doesn't necessarily mean that they shouldn't go, but maybe you should say, look, I know it's not easy for you, I just came to be with you and that's all. Or a person could sit there and be mispalo. But the fact is that the main components of Bikur Cholim are A, in the practical sense, to take care of that which is necessary, and B, to be misfollowed. And both of these things are crucial. Both of these things are crucial. Okay, now, the halacha, by the way, is also that when it comes to Bikur Cholim, a man could go visit a woman, assuming there is no compromise of the tznius, a man could go visit a woman could go visit a man by the mitzvah Bikur Cholim, as long as they don't get into a situation of yichud, where there would be total privacy, it's hard to imagine in a hospital that would ever happen, because there are constantly medical personnel coming in and out. But to go to someone's home to visit them, so a person just has to be mindful that if it's a woman who's ill and you're going to visit, so you have to, even though the etzem, that is permissible, but the question is, if nobody else is home and you close the door, so now you get into a situation of ichud. So the mitzvah that you're doing is now being tainted by the fact that you're violating an isser. So that is something that also requires a little planning, but that is the factor that needs to be taken care of. Now, the question comes up, a very interesting discussion in the halacha, that if this is such a great mitzvah, so how come we don't say a bracha when we do this mitzvah? Right, we know that everyone knows before you shake a lulav, so you say the bracha, almatilus lulav, and it sort of enhances, it adds to the experience. Everybody loves, right, to say a bracha on a mitzvah. It gives it a certain significance. So why is it that when it comes to these matters that we don't say a bracha on Bikur Cholim? So it's just interesting to know that there are certainly, this is a discussion in the Rishonim, when you say a bracha and when you don't. So basically, the famous answer, which is attributed to the Rashba, one of the Rishonim, it's brought in the Tshuvas of Rashba, that he says that a bracha is not said on a mitzvah when the performance of the mitzvah is not totally in your control. In other words, a bracha is only said on a mitzvah when it's like it's a sure thing. In other words, at this point, it's a sure thing. For example, I come to put on tefillin. So, okay, all I have to do is put on the tefillin. No one's going to interfere. There's no reason to assume anyone's going to stop me from putting on tefillin. So I'm going to put on the tefillin, so you say a bracha. However, when a person goes to be mevakeh chola, it could be that the chola doesn't want them at that moment. In other words, it's not totally in my control. because I need the cooperation of the other person. This is the same reason, for example, why we would not say a mitzvah by a bracha by virtually any mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro, right? That any mitzvah that between man and his fellow man, we would not say a bracha on, like for example, giving tzedakah, right? One could ask the question, well, why do you say a bracha before you give tzedakah to somebody, right? So the answer is, because he may not want it. Right, because the person may say that, you know, I'm embarrassed or whatever, I don't want to take it. So therefore, anytime, so you'll say, well, but what, but in this situation I know he wants it. In this situation he solicited it. Nevertheless, the Rajba says that this is a rule across the board. This is a rule, and there's a cloud that we have in the Hilchos Brachos, that we don't say a bracha on any situation that the fulfillment of the mitzvah, it can be interfered with. In other words, it's not totally in our control to fulfill the mitzvah. And Bikur Cholim, as such, would be one of them, and therefore we don't say a bracha. Yeah.
What if you want to see a sick person? You know that person does not want you to see him like that.
Okay, so that's the same type of idea. If you know that the person does not want you to see them, you should not go to Bima Vakachol. You should, because that's a burden, that they don't want you there. So if they don't want you there, but it's so the Gemara says Ein Mevakrim, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch that Ein Mevakrim Choli Me'ayim, that a person, hard to know exactly what it means in our times, but people who had very bad stomach disorders, which it probably involves, they didn't have so necessarily full control of themselves. And so forth. So therefore, it could be a very embarrassing situation. So the Gemara says you shouldn't go to be mevakeh such a cholo because it's embarrassing for them. They don't want you to come. You're not helping. In other words, the idea is you're supposed to be helping. So even though you'll say, yeah, but on the other hand, I'll see the plight of this person, I'll be misfollowed. But you need both. You need to know that the person wants you also.
Neither aspect of the mitzvah requires a cholo to see you, though. You could go see him and be take care of his loose problem as long as he doesn't see you.
But I'm saying, but if he doesn't want you there, I mean, that's an interesting type of thing. If he doesn't want you there, then he doesn't want you to see him, even if he doesn't know. He just doesn't want you to see him like that. So therefore, even if he doesn't know that you're seeing him that way, but it's against his wishes, he doesn't want that, right? So anyway, that goes into, we said before, not to be a burden to the cholah. Now, another explanation that's given why you don't say a bracha on the Bikur Cholim is because there's a very interesting pshat, which is said in one of the Rishonim, that we don't say brachas on mitzvahs that apply all the time. In other words, there's never a time, if there's a mitzvah that you're never exempt from. You always have to, in other words, it's always. It's not like done at this time or that time. It's all the time, right? There's never a time that a person is parted from this mitzvah. So that others say that type of mitzvah you don't say a bracha on. Of course, you could ask why they say Berachas HaTorah. It is, I think, a way to distinguish there. But the fact is that this is another explanation that's given, that when it comes to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, since the mitzvah really applies at all times, there's no time that a person is not obligated. Right? In other words, you can't. But the fact is that it's not like it's set up, it should be at this time of the day or on this day of the week or whatever it may be, right? Something which is all the time, so we don't say bracha. So whatever the case may be, for technical reasons, we don't say a bracha on this mitzvah, but it should not be construed that the fact that we don't say a bracha makes it it's a less of a mitzvah, because that is not the case. The Ramah, at the end of the discussion of the halachas of Bikur Cholim, the Ramah says a very interesting thing. He says, Yesh Omrim, Shemish, I'm sorry, it's not on the sheet. He says, Yesh Omrim, Shemish Yesh Lo Chol Beveso, Yelech Eitzo Chocham Shebeir, Sheevakesh Olav Rachamin. That not only should people go to be Mevakar the Cholah, but if a person, it has someone who's ill, someone who's not well in their household, that they should go to get a bracha, they should go to a chacham, they should go to a tzaddik, and ask that person to be misfaul for them. And the Ramah says, V'chein nagu levarach cholim b'beis ha'knesses, And therefore, it became the practice that we say a special bracha for the cholim in a shul, right? This is said, even though, you know, you say, what I'm saying in the shul for, will just, you know, each person who knows will, what do you have to make a mishaberach publicly? Why not each person, when he says Rifa'inu, when he says the Shemon Esrei, I'll have in mind for that person, right? But nevertheless, that we say that you're supposed to go to the Chacham Shabir, you don't know, whose chus will help. So therefore, we try to do it in public as much as possible. And therefore, we have this concept, the minhag, long established minhag, that we say a mishaberach v'cholim in a shul. Even though it's the people who are saying the mishaberach, many of them are already praying for this person, but nevertheless, it became the practice that we say a mishaberach publicly. Now, we should be aware of the following thing. This is a little bit as an aside. The Mishaberach V'cholim is something which is said in every shul. There are different practices as when the Mishaberach V'cholim is said. Here in town, I see that there's a very makbid in the shuls that to say a different Mishaberach for men and for women. I'm not quite sure what that's based on. The Nusuch, it's true, the Nusuch of the Mishaberach is slightly different for a man or for a woman, just because in the Hebrew the words change based on the gender, but the words themselves are identical for both a man and a woman. And most yeshivas that I'm aware of, they make one mishaberach for men and women together, and they don't distinguish. But here it seems that it became the practice to say for men and for women. That's a judgment call that has to be made by each individual shul. What has happened in today's world is that Baruch Hashem, people are concerned and people try to, when they know of a chola, they try to put on the list. They have some sort of list that they add the name of the chola. And this has created a situation where, unfortunately, we have so many cholim that it interrupts the davening. It becomes a situation where the mishaberach v'cholim could take 10 minutes, and meanwhile people are restless, so they start to talk, and it disturbs the decorum in the shul. So this is, again, a situation that has to be dealt with in each shul, and each rav has to make that decision himself. There are all kinds of solutions that people have come up with. I don't think anybody is comfortable with all of them. In other words, each one says, all right, this one I'll agree to, this one I won't agree to. All kinds of, some places they tell people to say the name themselves. Some people, they just hold the list and have in mind for everyone in the list. Sometimes they rotate, they'll accept only a certain amount of names, whatever it is. But the fact is, the inyan of saying the mishaberach in shul is not nothing. This is brought in the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, and it's something which is the right thing to do. And if a person has the ability to contribute in this area, a person should do it. Now, I just, putting in a little bit of a pet peeve, something which I've noticed, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, it's not on the sheet, the Gemara says that that Yud Beis and Shabbos, the Gemara says, Mi she'esh lo chole, tzorech she'yarvenu b'soch chole Yisrael. That when a person is misfollowed for a chole, it is not sufficient to just say, God have mercy on this person, but rather you have to include this person amidst all of the sick people in the Jewish nation. So therefore, we always have, if you look, any time there's a Mishaberach or the Yiratzon that is printed in the Sidurim, so it says that the official of Yerfu Shalema, so-and-so, B'soch Sha'ar Chol Yisrael. This is a crucial part of the tefillah. This is not just a nice throwing, right? This is a crucial part of the tefillah that a person should always say, right? To be misfollow, by the way, to be misfollow for a chol, it doesn't always have to be in a formal situation. If you see a person who's sick, or you find out a person is sick, you can say right there on the spot a tefillah. It doesn't have to be the formal tefillah that the Chazal said. You can say, Hashem, have mercy on this person. But a person who does that should always attempt to say, B'soch Sha'ar Chol Yisrael. That they don't just say that person, but Tzar She'ar Benu, B'soch Sha'ar Chol Yisrael. I noticed that in some places they don't. It comes from good intentions, but I think it's misguided. That at the end of the long mishaberach, after all the names are in, so the gabbai adds the words ve'es kol achol, right? And not only should these people be blessed, but kol achol. Okay, that's a very nice thing. But it's not necessary because it's already the Chachamim already thought of that. It's built into the Mishaberach. The Mishaberach says B'soch Shar Chol Yisrael. That's in the Nusach. So therefore, there is no reason when a Mishaberach is made for Cholim for anybody to say B'Eskol HaCholim because it's said already. That's part. It's true. The person who's doing it has good intentions because you want that it should be for everyone and it should be a schus and all the other Cholim who are not aware of should also have a refuah. That's true, but that has already been built into the nusach of every Mishaberach that's ever said for Cholim. The only time a person would have to be mindful of that would be if you're saying your own nusach. If you're not saying a formal nusach from the Siddur, but you're just on your own, you can say in English, you know, God have mercy on this person, so and so, Ben so and so, right? So then you should say amidst all the other sick people. But in the nusach of Mishaberach, it is superfluous to throw that line in. I've heard it many times here in town that people throw this in. There's kol acholim. It's already in the Mishaberach. I would just add. I would just end with two points, just in terms of the outlook that a person should have towards Bikur Cholim, and that is this. First of all, the Mishnah Berurah tells us that when a person says Refa'enu, where every day, three times a day, when we say the Shemoneh Esrei and we say the Bracha Refa'enu Hashem B'nei Rafe, part of that Kavan, or actually not part, but the essence of that Tefillah is a person should say for himself and for those that he knows that we shouldn't get into a situation that we are ill. In other words, the bracha of Refa'enu, contrary to popular opinion, is not just a bracha for those in need, but the Iker Kavana of the bracha of Refa'enu is that we should not get into such a situation. So therefore, even if you say, well, theoretically, you say, well, I don't know anybody who's ill, so why should I say this bracha in the Shemoneh Esrei? The answer is because we're saying it for ourselves. Because we're saying that I don't want to be, please help me, protect me, I should not be put into this situation. And finally, we have here in the Sefer Chassidim something which is very, very important, which is a sobering thought, but something that is very important to be mindful of. And that's here on the sheet on page 2. It says the following. It says, M'chol Hashum Adam. The Sefer Chassidim, this was written, has nothing to do with the Hasidic movement of today. This was written by one of the Rishonim, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, in the 13th century. So he writes the following. He says, if a person takes ill, Al Yitzlech Choli Zu, he should not blame this illness, Shemach Mas Shum Michael or Shum Mashke Bacholio. The person should not say, oh, you know, I'm sick. I'm sick because I ate, oh my goodness, I ate that thing, and it was poison. And that's why I got sick, right? Because why? Because the person who says that is essentially saying Velo Hashem Paul Kol Zos. Because the person who's saying that is leaving God out of the equation. A person is saying, well, I'll tell you exactly why I got sick. I got sick because I was in this situation. I got sick. It's not nothing to do with Hashem, right? A person should not say that. The Sefer Chassidim says that should not be the Hashkafa. The Hashkafa should not be that it's because had I not done this, this wouldn't have happened. That's not so. V'afil chavlu b'nei adam ro'em. Even if a person was beaten by thugs, right? A person shouldn't say, I shouldn't have gone down that street. Had I gone down a different street, everything would have been fine. A person should not say that. El yomar, but rather the person should say, avonosav garmulo. The person should say that I need to improve. I need to improve that it could be I've done things that are wrong and for this I need to this is the cause. In other words, what the view, the hashkafa towards these things is viewed in Yiddishkeit is viewed from the spiritual side, that a person should say that this is not a coincidence and it's not because of a fluke and it's not because I just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But rather, a person should say that it comes min hashamayim. He brings a pasuk to support this, and therefore this makes a very big difference because we therefore say that a person who is in need, the thing to do would be to look what could I do to improve, and what could I do to I have to do a little introspection. I have to say, okay, maybe this is a message from God that I need to shape up in a certain area, that I need to, you know, maybe this I should start taking a certain thing more seriously. This is the traditional response to the situation of cholim. And of course, we know that the Baruch Hashem people try, you know, to generate schusim in different ways. People, you know, sponsor the performance of mitzvahs and try to, you know, generate schusim. But a person themselves has to look inside a little bit and say that this is not a fluke. This is not something that could have been avoided, even if it appears that way. But that's just God's way of doing things. And therefore, I should try to see, if possible, you don't always know, and it could be, no one knows what Hashem's cheshbon is. Sometimes a person has a certain lifespan, and that's it, and that's just the way it is. That was nigzar on the person. But the fact is that the traditional response has always been that a person should view it in the spiritual sense. In the spiritual sense, I'm not blaming it on this and that and the other thing. Everything is Min HaShamayim. We believe firmly that God runs the world, and everything that happens comes Min HaShamayim. And that therefore, the illness is, in a certain sense, a spiritual experience, because this is a time that a person should try to look within themselves and see what could I do to be better or to make others better, in the hope that we, Mitzvah Shem, we should be zocha, that we should fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim properly, that we should see the day that there are no more cholim, and it should be a schus that we should be able to do this mitzvah properly and bring the Yeshua to all those who are in need.